Number one, James chapter number one. Hope everyone had a good season of prayer together. I appreciate the closeness of the men in our prayer group. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to come to church and to get with men, or a few ladies with ladies, and be able to bear your burdens, to share your burdens. The Bible says if we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. And there's some burdens, well, we need to share, and we need to bear one another's burdens. But then there are those burdens that only we can bear. And we know the difference, and so I'm thankful that we have the strength to do that as God strengthens us. But I'm also glad that God gives us the compassion. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And as we bear one another's burdens, we only do that because of the love of God that's in our heart. And I'm thankful that God has placed that love in my heart and in your heart and in the hearts of His people. We're in James chapter number 1. I'm going to ask you just to stand for a moment. And I want to read some scripture, verses 13 through 15. Very, very familiar verses of scripture. And I'm kind of just going to touch the surface on some things. What a deep subject I'm going to talk to you about tonight. I'm going to talk to you about temptation. Temptation. And it's a very deep subject. It's almost like in these verses, verse 13, 14, and 15, that James kind of slows things down and he takes it kind of frame by frame in showing how sin evolves in our lives and what sin brings forth. And so I want to be very careful and I want to be very deliberate and we'll take our time and I want to help you. That's the purpose. It's always my purpose. I want to help you to understand that sin destroys lives. It destroys lives. And Satan has a desire to destroy your life. Now, you may be here tonight and not even realize that. I'm unsure. I believe that most of the people that are here tonight, as I look around, you understand that Satan has a desire to destroy your life. And in some of your lives, he's already at work in the process of doing that, and you're unaware of that, and I want to help you. In all of our lives, he's just constantly just pounding and pounding. He's relentless. He never gives up. He never gives up. And so I want to talk with you about temptation and sin. James chapter 1, we're going to read verse 13, 14, and 15. You follow along carefully as I read aloud. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let's pray. Father, would you open our understanding and our minds and our hearts to your word this evening? And God, would you help me to help your people? So I pray for your help, because we cannot do this without you. This is a spiritual matter. It's beyond our physical and mental comprehension. And so, God, we turn to you and we ask you that you would enlighten our minds and help us to grasp the truth that we're going to look at tonight in such a way that there would be a respect and a fear, and that we would be conscientious and aware of what we're talking about tonight, the power, the destructiveness and how many lives have been destroyed, and how many are even now on the brink, on the precipice of destruction because of our enemy and his artillery. And then, Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that we're not at the mercy of these things, that we have been equipped and that we have a strength, we have resources. And we pray that you would help us to realize this. And God, I pray that you would just build us and equip us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. James chapter number 1. When we met last week, we talked a little bit in verses 5 through 8. I'm going to get 9 through 11 a little later on, because it talks about the brother of lower degree and it talks about the rich. And James mentions that again later on in his epistle. And so I'll talk about, you know, these people that have, and then people that, well, they don't have as much when it comes to the means of life. James, he makes it real. That's one thing about the epistle of James. When I read the epistle, James, he talks about where the rubber meets the road. You know, he talks about troubles. Anybody in here have any trouble? Right? That's where the rubber meets the road. You see, James talked about the trouble. Then he talked about wisdom. We all need wisdom. And then he talks about how to deal with you know, there's those he talks about and the brother of a lower degree. In verse number 9, he talks about the brother of low degree. And then in verse number 10, he talks about the rich. He talks about economic situation and how we're to treat those situations. We're not to show preference and respect of persons in our lives. It doesn't matter. People are of different social and economic status and standing, but we're not to treat people based on that. We're to treat people based on that they're created in the image of God. And if they're saved, they're part of the family of God. And so he addresses that. And now he's going to address something that, well, we all have to face too. And that is temptation. I want you to notice in verse number 13, this is what he said. He said, "Let no man say when he is tempted." Now, verse number 2 and verse number 13 have a lot of similarities. All right? Verse number 2 talks about temptation. It says in verse number 2 of James chapter 1, "My brethren, count it all joy when," now I want you to remember that word, "when you fall into diverse temptations." In other words, when God tests you to bring out the best in you, when God tests you to refine you, it's like burning dross off of gold. When God tests you to refine you and to strengthen your faith, count it all joy. And that word, and we talked about it, and I'm not going to go back into it, that word is a different word than verse 13, because here he said in verse number 13, "Let no man say," not if he is tempted. So, not only is every person, brethren, okay, brethren, all the brethren are going to be tested of God. Why? Because God grows our faith. God grows our trust. God grows our dependence. God is conforming us into the image of His Son. And trouble and suffering is a part of that, just as it was in the life of the Lord Jesus. But now here, this is not talking about God testing to bring out good and to increase our faith. This is talking about Satan tempting to bring out bad and to destroy our faith. But now, both instances, the word "when" is used. Verse number 2, he said, "when." In other words, when God tests you, God's going to test you. But then in verse number 13, he said, "when you're tempted." You're going to be tempted, okay? You're going to be tempted. One of the first scriptures that I memorized when I was saved was 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man," right? But God is faithful now. God is faithful. And God is going to make a way. When we're tempted, He's going to make a way for us to escape. And He's going to make a way for us to bear it. And God, and we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. We do not have to succumb to temptation. We do not have to involve ourselves in the sin and the enticement of the devil. If we do, it's a choice, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. So the first thing he says, let no man say when he is tempted. You're going to be tempted. The devil's the tempter, and he's going to tempt you. He's going to tempt me. It's going to happen. Whether you've been saved a week, whether you've been saved 50 years, the devil tempts God's people. All right? Then he said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now, here's something I want you to think about. We're going to get into it here in just a moment, a little deeper. But what is James saying? He is saying there is something inside of man, and we talk about this often, there is something inside of man that wants to blame his problems and his place in life, his temptation, his failure on someone else. And the number one person that man wants to blame, and it's only going to increase until Jesus comes, and then it's going to get really bad if you'll read the book of the Revelation. There's going to come a day when men are going to shake their fists in the face of God and blaspheme the name of God and blame God for their lot in life. Now, there's many that do that today. And don't you do that. And God help me not to do that. See, when you look at the whole purpose, but when Satan went to Job, when you look at the whole purpose behind that, he wanted Job to curse God. He wants you to curse him too. And he wants me to curse him. He wants us to blaspheme and to curse and to blame God. So, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. And here's why, that no one can say that. He said in verse number 13, for God cannot be tempted with evil. It's not in the nature of God to be tempted with evil. God is of pure eyes, Habakkuk wrote, than to even look upon evil. You see, God is without sin. Without even the possibility. I recall when I was a young Christian, and listen, I don't know if it's just I'm extremely loud or if this monitor's up. If the monitor's up, that's fine. I like a little monitor. Am I very loud out there, or is it just me? Bring it on. Okay. Never mind. Just turn the monitor down just a little bit for me. Just me. Okay. Thank you. Okay. That's all right. I like a little monitor, and I need a little monitor, but I don't want to blow you away, and I realize that can happen if I'm up too loud. All right, when I first got saved, it says here that God tempteth no man, for God cannot be tempted, verse number 13, with evil. All right? There was a question that many were debating, and they were debating this question, could Jesus have sinned? That's ridiculous to even debate. Jesus is God, brethren. Can I tell you that not only did Jesus do no sin, he was without even the possibility of sin. You understand that? The possibility. God has, listen, there's no possibility that could ever happen. He's light, and in him is no darkness at all. And sometimes our finite minds cannot grab hold of or wrap around the fact of the holiness of God. Because of that, puny men gather together and start debating and disputing and trying to bring God down to man's level. God help us never to do that. So he said, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither, verse 13, tempteth he any man. All right. So he said, every man's tempted. Every man. But no man's tempted of God. So he said, let me break it down for you. Verse number 14, he's getting ready to break down some things. Look at what he said. He starts with what's on the inside. Now, there's something about our nature that you need to understand. Sit up straight. Listen carefully. I'm going to save you some hardship if you'll listen very carefully. Some of this is going to go against what the natural man thinks. It goes against what maybe you thought for many years of your life, but it's the Bible. Look at what James says in verse number 14. He said, this is how it originates. Okay, this is how it all gets started. Look at verse 14. Every man is tempted. Every man now. So, well, preacher, I'm not tempted. Oh, yes, you are. How do you know? God said so. Every man is tempted. All right? Now, your temptation may not be the same as my temptation. May not be the same level of my temptation. Mine may not be of yours, but every person is tempted. Every man is tempted. And here's when and how he's tempted. When he is drawn away of his own lust. Now I want you to write this down, okay? Inside. Temptation is an inside job. Now listen. Lust is involved. Now what is lust? It is, and I looked it up, it is desires, longings, cravings. Now there's something about the fallen nature, the depraved nature of man. We're dark. We're dark. Sinful. And there's something in the depraved nature of man. You say, well, I'm saved, preacher. I'm thank God for that, but you still have that little Adamic nature. Dark. Dark. Now listen to me. There's a dark side to every believer, and it's called the old man, the old nature. And he said that every man is tempted when he's drawn away, look at it now, of his own lust. You say, it's the devil, preacher. Well, not yet. We're going to get to him. But we're going to talk about you as the problem, me as the problem. Because here's what it says. He's drawn away of his own lust. That's an inside job. All right? A longing, a craving on the inside, a desire. Now, God has put desires in all of us. Every person has a desire. All right? We all have them. Now, these desires Satan takes and he tries to get us to fulfill God's natural desires in an unnatural or abnormal way. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. It is the desire of every person. Listen, every babe that comes into this world, it is natural. It is natural for that babe to desire the sincere milk. And as a Christian, we desire sincere milk of the Word. It's natural for that babe to desire food. How many of you desired food today? Raise your hand. Okay, some of you don't have your hand up. How many of you desired food today? Raise your hand. Okay, you're natural. You're natural. That's natural. It is unnatural to be a glutton. It's sinful. That's sinful. There's nothing sinful about desiring food, but there's plenty sinful about being a glutton. There's nothing natural about desiring sleep. Some of you are desiring it now. But it is unnatural to be lazy. See, that's taking something that is a desire and taking it the wrong way. Laziness. The Bible says an old slothful man just turns in his bed like a door on his hinges. Right? Sex. Natural. Between a man and his wife. But you get outside those boundaries and now it becomes immoral. And so what is natural that God has built in us, desire, longing, craving, natural, Satan wants to tempt us and bring out those bad things to do them the wrong way. Now, how does he do that? Well, watch what the Bible says. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Now, watch it. And enticed. Now, here's the outside. See, the inside is that man has desires. And when he fell in the garden, those desires turned dark in the base sort of man. Now, that old man, that old Adamic nature that we all have, is present with us. And we're enticed. You know what the word enticed means? It's a fishing term from allure, to attract, right? It's like throwing out a lure on a fishing line and trying to lay the bait to get the catch. So here's what he said. He said every man has that base nature, those lusts. And the Bible says we're to flee them. Let me give you some scripture. You turn with me if you would. Turn if you would to Romans chapter number 6. Turn to Romans chapter 6 just for a moment. I want you to see what the Bible says about these lusts. Brethren, we all have them. You say, well, not me, preacher. Well, you may not have some that you used to, and you may have some that you used not to, but we all have lust. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, are you there? Look at verse number 12. Romans 6, verse number 12. Let not sin reign, or let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust, the craving, the desire, the longing, the lust thereof. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter number 14. Look there, if you would, just for a moment. Romans 13. In verse 14. We have it again. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. Now, look at this verse of Scripture. It says, make not provision. Now, we can control these. We have them. And we're to keep them at bay. We're to fight, right? We're to be disciplined in this matter. Look at what Paul wrote young Timothy. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy just for a moment. Chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul wrote young Timothy about lust. And here's what he told him. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You say, preacher, what am I to do when there's a group of people around me and they start doing the wrong thing? Run. Get away from them. Get away from them. He said here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 22. Flee, run, leave, get away, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. One more scripture, and then we'll turn back to James. Galatians, and we looked at this one not long ago, Galatians chapter number 5. Remember this verse? Galatians 5 and verse number 16. I'll give you an opportunity to find your place there. I want you to see these scriptures. See, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. We all have passion and desires and longings and cravings. I recall one time talking with a young man, and it was all I could do not to laugh right in this young man's face. And I eventually did, because he was being unfaithful to his wife. And when I was trying to talk to him, he told me, I can't help it, I have strong sexual desires. Puh! That's no excuse. That's a joke. What, do you think you're different? So what was he doing? He was blaming it on God. There's people that do that all the time. Don't you do that? See, we all have these lusts, right? I'm showing that from the Scripture. Look at Galatians chapter 5. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, verse number 16. Galatians 5, verse number 16. Walk in the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Those longings, those cravings, we all have them. You can't say, well, God, you know, I talk to people and say, well, God, I was born in a poor side of town. Well, work and get out of it. Amen. Get a good work ethic. Do something with your life. Well, my family was this way and that way. Well, do something with your life. Do something with your life. Well, I go to school with a bunch of potheads and crackheads. Well, stay straight and serve God. You see, everyone's always wanting to blame others. But now I'm going to say, as we go back to James, what James said. James said, you are responsible. You are drawn away of your own lust. Now, does influence matter? Absolutely. But can I tell you that influence has no power over choice? No one can make me do anything, and no one can make you do anything. We choose to do what we do. And that's what the Bible's teaching here. And so James said, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. That's inside. And enticed, that's outside. That's the devil dangling the bait, the lure that would fit the lust. All right? So the devil has devices, and we have weaknesses. And he's been dealing with man for quite a while, thousands of years. Some say 6,000, very possible. I know it's not 4 million, say amen. But he's been dealing with man some time now. And he knows man. And he knows weaknesses. He knows your weaknesses and my weaknesses. And he dangles. But we've got to stay disciplined. We've got to stay true. We've got to stay prayed up. We've got to be in the Word. We've got to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says if we do that, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that what the Scripture says? That's what it says. So here's what he said. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. That's inside. But there's an enticement on the outside pulling you away from the things of God, away from what's right, what you know's right, what God says is right. There's an enticement. What's the picture here? The picture here is of a fisherman casting the reel, dropping the bait, and luring you and me and us. But now watch what James does. Very interesting. He goes from the riverbank to the bedroom. Watch it carefully. Look what he does. Look what he does here. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, when he's fed the bait and the lure. But now remember, underneath that juicy bait is always a hook that is usually unseen until the bait is taken. And then the hook is made known. But it's got you. I tell you, Satan has such a way of making sin look so good, doesn't he? Oh, come on, brethren. He does. If sin showed itself in the ugly form that it is, nobody would do it. And Satan has a way of painting the prettiest picture of sin, but he never shows the hook that the bait is covering. Did you know, if you'll just turn, we'll come back here just a moment, but turn back to just a few pages to Hebrews chapter 11. Sin is fun. You say, well, preacher, you ought not say that. I'm just telling you what God said. It's fun. Now, I'm not saying that everything that's fun is sin, so don't leave here and say, well, the preacher said we couldn't have fun no more. I did not say that. I know how people kind of take what I say and want to twist it, but that's not what I said. I said sin has an element of pleasure and fun. Look at what Hebrews 11, verse number 25, speaking of Moses, said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, let me just tell you something about the pleasures of sin. It is only for a season. Because now you got to pay. See, and that's what James gets to. So I want to turn back and I'll give you this thought and we'll pick up here next week. So we see how sin originates. Now we're going to see how it propagates. In other words, what? It grows. All right? It moves. And here's what he said. James 1, look at verse number 15. Then, in other words, after the bait's been taken, okay? Temptation. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, the baits out there, the lure. And then, bam, he takes. Then, when lust hath conceived, now we go from the riverbank to the bedroom. We're talking about the bait, but now we're talking about pregnancy. All right? Impregnated. Sin. Look at it now. When lust hath conceived. Lust getting ready to bring forth something. Conceive, getting ready to give birth. When lust hath conceived, you see that next phrase, it bringeth forth. That is a word in birthing, but listen very carefully. Not a human birth. The word comes from spawning, the birth of an animal. Literally, a monster, a beast. And here's what James is saying. You think, when you look at that bait, my, that looks nice. That would be nice. That would be fun. That would be exciting. That would be thrilling. Just one little drink. Just, by the way, one little drink is sin. Alcohol is sin. Amen. You say, I drink it. You're sinning. It biteth like a serpent. Stingeth like an adder. The Bible says don't even look at it. It's done more to wreck homes and lives than any drug in this country. Stay away from that stuff. It's sin. Used to be a day when men of God would stand and preach against alcohol. What's gotten into us? Alcohol is sin. Don't let that stuff even touch your lips. Sin. He said here, that little lust that looked good, that one little look, that one little touch, that one little fling, right? Gonna fool around, just one nut, preacher, just one nut. Just gonna fool around. I thought about something. I talk to people and they say, well, you know, don't judge me yet because God's not finished with me. So don't be so hard on me. I've got something I want you to consider. If you're dabbling in sin, sin's not finished with you either. So don't be so easy on yourself. Because sin is getting ready to finish. And when it's finished, it's going to bring forth something. What's it going to bring forth? Death. 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 Why do you think that James said that when lust hath conceived, pregnant, it bringeth forth, it gives birth? You know, you take that little baby, and I tell you, it's hard. It doesn't matter how, I don't even want to use the word ugly when I'm talking about a baby. Right? You can't do it. You can't do it. I mean, you just can't do it. But those little babies are just so, they're just something, right? They're just cuddly. You just want to squeeze them and, you know, rub them up, right? That's what James is saying here. Lust hath conceived. What is that lust now? It's that desire, our own lust. We pamper it. Oh, cuddle. Oh, I got me I'm cuddling this little baby. What baby? My little baby sin. My lust has conceived, and I have me a little baby sin. And it's just so fun and cute. No one knows. Can I tell you that sin's going to grow? Why? Because you got to feed the beast. Now listen carefully to me. It always starts with a little drink. You know, a little social drink. Rarely is that ever where it ends. Hey, we've got some people who used to be drunks. You say, well, I prefer alcoholic. Well, the Bible says drunk. A drunkard. I'm not being mean. I used to be one myself, okay? So don't think I'm picking on you. I'm just saying that, you know, just one little drink, drunkard. One little wine, addict. One little fling, prostitute. Come on now. One little look, whoremonger. Why? Because sin's not finished. It's a little baby. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth. Go home and study that phrase out. An animal, a monster, a monster. Hey, you're holding that little baby sin. I got to tell you don't know it yet. That's a monster. It's a monster. And this is what God's trying to tell you. What God's trying to tell me, that little monster is going to do some bad, bad things before it's all said and done. Now, most of us are old enough and we've lived long enough to have given birth to a few monsters. And I don't mean human, I mean spiritual monsters in our lives. Where we played around with sin and we thought we could take fire in our bosom and not be burned. And it cost us. And we had that little baby sin and nobody knew. That was just our little baby sin. And we cuddled that little baby sin, but it grew. And it grew and it grew and it was no longer a baby. And no longer was it cuddly and cooing. It was demanding and controlling. And that's what sin does. Remember Samson? Remember Samson? Playing around with Delilah. Just playing around. He had his little baby sin. But then sin grew. And then sin had him. It put his eyes out. Listen to me now. It had him down in the granary grinding, blind, and they were mocking him and mocking his God. Why? Sin. Sin has taken a many, many down. Don't let sin take you down. But it's lurking. It's lurking. And the bait is dangling. And there's a lust on the inside of every one of us to want to take that bait. But we got to flee. You got to get away from that stuff. You better flee to the arms of God and say, God, help me. God, forgive me. Hey, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You want to cover and cuddle that thing? No prosperity for you. That monster is going to take you out. Why? Because it says here, like I said, people say, well, you know, don't judge me, preacher. God's not through with me. Notice this. It says, when lust hath conceived seed, it bringeth forth sin. But now, sin's not finished yet. Because sin, when it gets finished, it bringeth forth death. Death of what, preacher? You name it. Joy. Some people no longer have joy. Why? Sin's killed it. Sin's killed your joy. Oh, you can blame it on anything you want. Well, no, it was that situation, preacher. It was that guy. It was that gal. It was that preacher. It was that family. It was my dad. It was my mom. No, it's your sin. Killed your joy. Because sin bringeth forth the death. And so sin became the death of your joy. Sin's become the death of many's ambition. They have zero goals anymore. They have zero drive anymore. You know why? Sin became the death of your ambition. Some people have no burden anymore. They used to cry and weep and pray, God, save my lost family members. They have no more burden. You know why? Sin. Sin's killed their burden. They have no vision. They have no goals. Sin. It's a killer. It is. You say, preacher, that's a pretty bleak picture. It is, isn't it? Sin's a pretty bleak thing. And we laugh at it and take it for granted here in America. But I'm going to tell you something. In heaven, there's no laughter about sin. In hell, there's no laughter about sin. The only where there's mockery and laughter of sin is in this life on this earth. The world above us does not laugh at sin. And the world below us doesn't laugh at it. God help us not to laugh at it. It's serious. Very serious. I'm going to ask you to stand if you would. What can I do, preacher? I've kind of stepped out in lust. And enticement have come together. And sin has been birthed. What can I do? Well, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Somehow we have gotten to the place in this society to where we think God just winks at sin. And the preacher's never supposed to preach again it. Nobody in the church is ever supposed to mention it. God forbid a Sunday school teacher would mention the word sin. And a parent should never say sin. We've gotten to the place in our society, in our culture, even in our churches, to where we don't want to hear the truth about sin. But we need to hear the truth about sin. And tonight I've given you the biblical truth about how sin comes about. When lust hath conceived, when you follow that longing, when you follow that enticement, when you pet that thing and you groom it, it becomes sin, and then now you've bore it. It bringeth forth. You've brought forth the monster of sin. Now you've got a fight on your hands. But can I tell you, you can get rid of it tonight. Tonight you can get rid of it. I mean, get rid of it. God will cleanse you of it. Wash it. You'll be done with it. You'll be done with that. But now you've got to come to Jesus. No preacher, no church, no person, no about face. The only thing that will forgive sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray that if you have sin in your life tonight, you will come and say, God, please forgive me. I'm sorry. And I realize now that I've been justifying and petting and grooming and almost become an incubator for a monster. And God, I don't want that. I want your peace. I don't want to kill these things that are precious to me. I want them to be alive in my life more so than they ever have been. Let's pray. Father,